Hebrews chapter 10. I've been enjoying it thus far. Got skin. Got a little balm of Gilead. I pled the Lord, let me come your way. Galilean Baptist Church, when God gave you Dr. Noah, he gave you a good gift. And you should uphold him, pray for him. Because I don't know where you get someone else like him. They're just not around anymore. The old fellow said they're scarcer than pickled hen teeth. Well, I hope you have your Bible and follow me. If you don't, you'll be like the old farmer. He's kind of stingy. You know, God, that's one type of people. God will never bless a stingy man, never bless a lazy man, never bless an unbelieving man. But this farmer got tired of buying all that scratch feed, and he went down to the sawmill and got sawdust, and he mixed it about half and half. And he had one old hen sitting on a dozen eggs. And when they hatched out, 11 of them had wooden feet. And the 12th one was a woodpecker. And if you don't have the right kind of Bible and go by the Bible, you're liable to wind up a woodpecker. Hebrews chapter 10. Here's some of the most hated scripture I guess you could find in these religious days. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And there's our text, those three words in chapter 12, but this man. And the scripture tells us that we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And therefore we're to live a crucified life. If you're saved, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And the Lord paid the same price for me as he did for you. There's no big Christians, no little Christians. There's no first class, second class, or third class when it comes to being Christians. He paid the same price for us. And in him, he reckons us as having died, because when Jesus died, we died. His burial was our burial. His resurrection is our resurrection. And we're already seated with him in heaven. Someone said, do you think you're going to make it? I've already made it. Thank God for that. I'm already up there. I've made it. And living a crucified life, you know, there's several things you can't do when you're hanging on a cross. First of all, you can only look one way. Man, you can't look behind you, and you're not going to look way off to the right or to the left. And then you can have no plans of your own when you're hanging on that tree. And the third thing is, you cannot get down from there. As the pastor was telling us, just stay with it and stay with it and stay with it. And if you're linked to Jesus Christ and been joined to Him by one Spirit, brother, the only thing you can do is stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Oh, we need to get a glimpse of Jesus. And that's what I'd like to bring to you today, because we're getting down near the end of this thing. And you talk about when you get down to the end of a reel on a cassette tape or something, that thing just whirls around so fast, just faster and faster. And we're down near the end of the church age. We're down near the end of the times of the Gentiles. We're down near the end of this century. And it's been 2 days, 2,000 years since the Lord has been gone. Man, I'd sure love to see Him. Past year, I had two funerals, man and woman. They loved the Lord. They'd never had anything much. He never even owned a car, had a bicycle. But they raised three generations of children. And though it looked like they could have got old and not had to put up with all those children, had a little relief. But they were getting on up in age, and go by the house and furniture sitting all on the porch because they didn't have a place to sleep. You couldn't hardly get in the house with all those kids, three generations. And they began to get aged, and someone said, well, they won't be here long. They won't be here long. And finally, they had to put them in a rest home, and I went to visit. And the lady, she was down the room and didn't weigh but about 60-some pounds, just a bag of skin and bones, in there with all those tubes running in her trying to breathe, and she'd burn up. And they put him down the hall, and he'd sit there in the summertime with a coat on and gloves on, about to freeze to death. Folks said, well, they just won't be here long. They had to put him in the hospital, pneumonia, and I went by to see him and talked with him and had prayer with him. And I said, I'm going by the home to see Lucille. Is there anything you'd like me to tell her? And his eyes kind of lit up and said, tell her that I said I love her. And boy, I sure glad I went back up to that home. And it was the poorest type of rest home, all races and cultures and folks in there, some crying and some insane and imbecile, and the stench was terrible. And I went down the hall, and there she sat, hunched over, just a bag of pain on the side of the bed. Talked with her, and I said, I went by to see Guy, and he said to tell you that he loves you. And boy, those dark eyes light it up, and man, I'm glad I went by, because 2 days later, he died, and they buried him, and at the funeral, someone said, I heard him say, well, he's gone. And a week from that day, right beside where I buried him, I buried her, and again, I heard someone said, they're gone. I don't know if you've ever been down to the bus station and saw a loved one off, and you watch it till it gets off in the distance. Or you go down to the dock and watch someone depart, and they cross where the water meets up to the horizon, and you wave till you can see it no more, and they say, well, they're gone. But when a child of God leaves here, and they say they're gone, over yonder stands somebody that says, here they come, here they come, here they come. And I'd like you to just get a glimpse of this man. But this man, thank God he was a man. I mean, he wasn't no little bitty effeminate sissy. He wasn't a little wimp. I mean, here's a man that the Bible said God had anointed him above all the brethren because he loved righteousness and he hated iniquity. And you cannot be a good lover unless you're a good hater. You better watch these folks that love everything and love everybody. I was in church a while back and some fella I'd never seen before in my life came up and said, I love you. And I kind of kept an eye on him. I wouldn't doubt if he didn't have a necklace on. Or I was looking for his ear bobs and lace, you know, around his cuff. But here was a man. And do you know that if we ever get a revival, we'll see a lot of men stirred because men go to that which they think is manly. You know why men don't come to church? It's because they think it's sissy. They think it's effeminate. They think it's something for a bunch of us that are invalids and our IQ's a little bit low and we're not able to compete out there in the world and all of its vigor and stammer and energy. But when you can get men excited over something, that's the reason they're out at the ballpark. Little old bitty pig, a pigskin about that long with a bladder in it, filled full of water. Air, rather. And you watch, it'd be 30 or 40,000 men. They'll be out there and they just go crazy over that there pigskin. And half of the time you can't see it. I know I can't. And boy, just get excited. But if you could get men to think there's something manly going on, you can have a revival. And the most manliest person I've ever met in all of my life was the Lord Jesus. Oh, happy day, oh, happy day when I met him. Now, I like a man to be manly. And I like a woman to be womanly.
Right.
I think about a woman ought to be something that has some virtue and some cleanness and something that's more soft than an old, robust, scaly, hard, tight man.
Yeah.
I don't think a woman should wear pants just like a man and cuss like a man and act like a man.
Yeah.
And I always esteem the lady folks. I'm a little old-fashioned from way down south, and I still like to say, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And I'm used when a lady enters into your presence, you stand up, you know, and those things. And I'm a little old-fashioned, and I don't want to change. And by God's grace, I'm not going to change. I don't care what the rest of the world does. I settled that thing 1952 when I came down and cried, Lord, save me. I can't save myself. Keep me. I can't keep myself. Leave me. I don't know which way to go. And he answered and said, I'll save you and I'll keep you and I'll be with you living and I'll take care of you dying. And that night I could go home and hug that old white-headed neck of my mother and said, Mama, thank God I got saved. And I mean, I didn't get religion. I got saved. I was just a plowboy in the country. 6 months out of the year, I'd plow back and forth and back and forth and around and around. And when God saved me, I got my theology behind the plow handles. I take the Bible and read a verse or two and lay it down and plow two rounds and meditate on it. And all the joy of God that was in my heart, and I get so happy. I get down in the furrow and cry and pray, and I've even hugged the old mule's neck because of the ecstasy and the joy of knowing he was saved. Dinner time, take the team, barn, water, and feed them. And get the old King James. And I'd get off in a gully or in a pine thicket somewhere. And man, that's where I got my theology. And I settled some things. You know, folks cannot understand how that he could be man and be God. The scripture says, but God became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. If he was not a man, who was that little babe in Bethlehem's manger? If he was not God, why did that choir of angels come down and sing hosannas and bless his name? If he wasn't the Son of Man, why did he say that, call himself the Son of Man? If he wasn't God, why did he say the Father and I are one? If he was not the Son of Man, who was that that washed the disciples' feet? And if he wasn't God, who was that that washed them from their sins? And if he wasn't the Son of Man, who was that that stood before Pilate when Pilate said, "Behold the man"? And if he wasn't the Son of God, what caused Pilate to wash his hands and say, "I find no fault in him"? And if he wasn't the Son of Man, who was that that wept at Lazarus' tomb? If he wasn't God, who was that that called him forth from the tomb? And if he wasn't the Son of Man, who was that that hungered on the mountain? And if he wasn't the Son of God, who was that on the same mountain, took a little lad's meal and blessed it and break it and fed 5,000? Oh, if he wasn't the Son of Man, who cried from the cross, "I thirst"? And if he wasn't the Son of God, who was that that gave that woman at the well a drink of everlasting water to quench her thirst? He wasn't the Son of Man whose hands and feet were nailed to the cross. If he wasn't the Son of God, who was that while he was hanging on the cross, yet got off of the cross and rent that veil from top to bottom? That wasn't the Son of Man who cried, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And if he wasn't for the Son of Man, who was that that said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing"? If he wasn't the Son of Man who was buried in Joseph's tomb? And if he wasn't the Son of God, who was that very early on the third day that got up with the keys of death and hell on his garment? Oh, he was God. He was man. And hallelujah, he's mine. He's mine. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, how sweet thy name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim. Oh, that lovely name of Jesus. Here's a man, when he died, he fulfilled 21 prophecies in that last day. Here was a man, they said, never spake anyone like this man. Just think, he started this thing by speaking it into existence. Yeah. And just think, when he comes back for us saints of God, he's going to shout. If he could do that, just speaking, just think what's going to happen when he shouts. I want to see just a few moments, and I'll let you go, about the fact that he became a man. Now, some folks said they were in Christ before the foundation of the world. I wasn't. He didn't have a body for me to get in. But now I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and the day I believed in him, the Holy Spirit of God baptized me into him. And by one Spirit, I'm joined unto the Lord, and I'm never going to get away from him because I'm one with him as he was one with the Father. But first, Jesus became a man. Let's just look at that condescension. Now, I don't know about you. I love people. Now, I was brought up, I was timid and shy and backward, introvert, Rube of Rube, hayseed of hayseed. And you're talking about shy and bashful. Girl, look at me, and I'd just turn red all over. God called me to preach. I couldn't understand that, me being so timid. But yet I love people, all kind of people. Man, I get around, I don't care who it is, I want to know things. I have an inane curiosity. And just like to know, where'd you come from? Where are you going? You going where I'm going. But yet there's times I like to get away from people. If you ever want to get blue and dragging, man, just get to looking at people. Just get to looking at some of these preachers. And I tell you, I almost wish you'd never been born. You get to looking at some of the people. Why, I'd rather have an old dog. I can go home at the end of a day and an old mangy dog come up and rub against you and you can pet him. And boy, I'd like to get away from some people. Sometime I'd like to get up on top of the mountain, let the wind blow through my hair, take a shower and get off and just get away from humanity and feel clean. I get tired of hospitals and tired of undertakers and tired of sickness and tired of death and tired of man continually complaining. Just think, how'd you like to be a medical doctor? Every day of his life, everybody come in and their lips turned down at the corner. And there's no need saying, how are you today? He knows. How'd you like to put up with that day in and day out? I don't blame him for charging so much. How about a dentist? You ever gone into a dentist's office, seen anyone come in there? Holler, glory to God, look at that, got an old abscess. Isn't that wonderful? But Jesus became a man. Why? I don't know. I never could understand the love of God that would condescend to come down to where people, just read the headlines today, and you get a little glimpse of the depravity and the low-downness and meanness of humanity. But yet He came down to where we were and are. And He became a man, and they dated time from His birth, and when He was born, they came from the east, and when He died, they came from the west, and in Him, the east and the west, it meets. Yeah. He became a man. Time to Him be born. He came down, and there was no fine hospital. I mean, there was no ward where everything was sterile and clean and purified. But you know where He was born? About like what you'd have as one of the old-time outhouses. Just where the animals gathered, and there among the animals and the manure and the trampled straw, His mother brought Him into the world, and nothing to wrap Him with or cleanse Him with except some old grave clothes they took off of some old cadaver when they re-embalmed it, and they had it to wipe the manure and straw off of the animals, and they shook it out that day and wrapped Jesus in. You ever get tired of the way you have to live? God knows we have too much. We're so ingrate, so unthankful. But He came down there, fox's hole, bird's nest. Son of Man had no place to lay His head. At night, when other men went home to their wife and family and a meal and bed, He went alone after earning the old Nile limbs of the olive trees and lay down and waken in the morning with the dew of the night and the locks of His hair. What do you got? Nothing. Made it all, owns it all, but nothing. No bank account. Wanted to ride in town on the day, a great day for Him, but had to borrow a coat. Wanted to cross the sea, had to borrow a boat. And when it come down time to die, man, He bore my cross and your cross. And when He was buried, compassion of a rich man gave Him a place to be buried. But he borrowed it, only knowing he's going to need it 3 days, thank God. He became a man, but Jesus went lower than a man. Jesus became a slave. Disciples round one day, talking to themselves, who's going to be the greatest? Kingdom's coming, who's going to be the greatest? Well, I reckon I'll get to sit on the right hand or the left hand. Surely I'm not going to be down there with so-and-so, you know. And they still do that. Shame Christians still do that. And so, the Lord, not saying a word, just got up, took his outer garment off, and put an old fisherman's towel around it. Got a basin of water and got down and began to wash the feet. Doing a slave's work. And Jesus became as a slave, and when he was sold, they sold him for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a female slave. You're saved. You're bought with a price, and you too are a bond slave unto the Lord, and you don't have a right to your own ways and your own ambitions and your own thoughts and your own desires. Because he came into the slave market and he bought you, and you were dying and without God. No one else wanted you or cared for you. The majority of your picture will never be in the newspaper. They'll never have a parade for you here. But when he bought you and you got saved up yonder, they stood up in heaven and clapped their hands and rejoiced. And he went lower than a slave. He became as a dog. I didn't say a dog because there's no animal that could typify Jesus that would have been a dog, for that's unclean. But he became as a dog. One day walking down the street, this Syrophoenician woman, prostitute, temple prostitute, and her daughter, in sin, dope, junk, and everything else, was sick. I saw an old boy yesterday. I looked at him, and his eyes were dead. And his cheeks were bloody. His lips were vile, and his heart was black, and his nature was corrupt. And I looked at him, and man, he's just a warning sign for the coming generation. And I looked and said, oh God, if he go to hell, how much more awful hell will be when he gets there. And she was standing out there, Jesus, thou son of David. Jesus, thou son of David. Jesus, thou son of David. Jesus walking by, no one paying any attention, kept on and kept on. And I tell you, if you want to get to God, I don't care what your situation, if you mean it and you'll persevere in it, you can get to Him. But He's not a bellhop you can flip your finger at and whistle at, and He'll come at your beck and your call. But if you have an honest-to-goodness desire to get to Him, you can. Finally, the Lord turned to her and said, woman, am I supposed to take the bread of the children and give it to dogs? And us Gentiles, you know, that's what we are. We're no great stuff. Your daddy's no great stuff. Your grandpa's no great stuff. Your children will be no great stuff. You go checking up on you. Family tree, and most time you just find an old stump. Because in Adam all die. But that woman persevered. She said, but Lord, dog that I may be, dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. And I tell you, when he hung on the cross, he hung there for that old dog that day. And when he hung on the cross and he took that cup and drank all of the bitterness of the wrath of God and was made a curse and made sin, he did it for this old dog.
Yeah.
Jesus went lower than that. Jesus became a worm. Most insignificant thing in all the world. A worm. On the cross he cried, "But I'm a worm and not a man." That's what you were before you were born. Your father's sperm, just like a little worm. And if you're not saved in the resurrection of the lost, that's what you're going to wind up. Just a worm. We're on the backside of a solar system shaped like a worm. You're going to lose your soul and all be left. Just the worm. But Jesus came down, dying on that cross. That invisible world was there. The bulls of Bashan run upon him, gore him. Dogs compass him about. Oh, they're leering, showing their fangs and slobbering at the mouth. Those evil world, the Son of God dying there.
Amen.
Should I cry to God from the horns? Jesus dying. But the third day, that third day, when he died, his spirit went to the Father. Joseph of Arimathea got the body, Nicodemus. Matter of fact, when he was born, the first human hands that touched him was named Joseph. And when he died, the last human hands that put him away was a man named Joseph. Joseph means beloved. Thank God. Been gone 2 days, 2,000 years. Coming again, but he came down so low to lift up so high. So high. Old Sam Jones. I know I'm preaching too long, but old Sam Jones. Broken down by the awful curse of liquor. Once the brilliant lawyer, but there, sodden drunk. Laying in the sawdust of a saloon, his filth and vomit on him. Closing time, the saloon keeper say, "Sam, get up! We're closing! Get up!" And he tried to get to his feet, and he couldn't make it to his feet. The saloon keeper would curse him and kick him and drag him to the door and open it and throw him out in the alley. One night he threw him out, it snowed. And when he come to in the morning, the sun was up, he's about to freeze to death. Finally able to get to his feet, he got a hold of the door and it opened and he went back in the saloon. The saloon keeper saw him and cursed him, called him every low down thing he could think of, and he was right about it. And he quivering and shaking and sick. He said, "Would you give me just a glass of that old busthead liquor?" He said, "Please, please. No money. Just give me some out of the slop bucket where they put the dribblings of the others after drunks had slobbered in it and ashes in it and spittle in it. And they cleaned it, just pour it all in one bucket." And he reached down and got him a glass and he held it up, started to drink it, and he looked in the mirror. Hair matted. One eye closed. The other eye so bloodshot, it looked like it's going to burst out with bleeding. And his lips swollen. And he looked and said, "Is that all? Is that all that's left of that fellow that was once the brilliant lawyer?"
And he threw that glass down and fell on his knees and said, "Oh God! Oh God! Have mercy!" Saloon keeper run around, thought he was dying, and he was almost dying. The other fellow said, picked him up, "Sam, can we help you? Just leave me alone." Little bitty got up, staggered out, went across the street to a little cheap room and house, and finally got up the back steps. One of the two old ladies that lived there said, "Sam, can I help you?" He said, "Would you please just fix me a pot of hot black coffee?" She did. "Anything else I can do?" "No, just leave me alone." And 3 days and three nights, he went through hell. But that third morning, something had happened. Old Sam Jones. He went down the street to a clothing store. His old clothes so filthy and dirty. Hadn't shaved in a month. Hair matted. And he went in to the clother and he said, "Old Sam, coming back?" "You coming back?" He said, "Yes, yeah, Sam, coming back." Said, "Jesus saved me last night." He said, "I want you to give me all the clothes that I need." And he got a big box and gave him a suit of clothes and a tie and shirt and underclothes and shoes and a hat. And as he was going out, he slipped something in his hand. Old Sam looked, and it was a $100 bill. And he went over to the barber shop and he said, "Look, I want a bath, and I want you to shave me, and I want you to cut my hair." And after he went through that and put on his suit, and he was so pale and trembling, and he went down the street towards the outskirts of town to where his wife lived. She couldn't put up with him. He'd beat her body till it was black and blue. He'd been mean as a dog to her, and he knocked on that door. She came to the door. She didn't even recognize him. And he said, "Honey," he said, "look," said, "you got a new husband, and God's given the children a new daddy. And I just wonder if you just take me back and let's start over again." And she cried out, "Hallelujah, hallelujah," and wrapped both arms around him and said, "I've been praying for this." But Jesus came down so low to lift us up so high. And if you're saved, you don't have to take your cap off and bow to the doorstep of this old world. Because if you're saved, you're a son. You're a child of God. You're somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's enough preaching. Thank you.